Hi, Maren Hart. This is AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Now, yesterday, quite a hot topic on the show was the story about the immigrants who were caught up in Operation Number Games. More than 1,000 suspected illegal immigrants were caught in a dragnet. And we wondered why the judge in Larimer County ordered Weld County District Attorney Ken Buck and the Western Weld County Sheriff's Department to return or destroy the evidence in 7 days. I thought it was a good idea because it looked like it was an illegal operation by the authorities in Greeley. But many of you disagreed with me and wondered why District Judge James Hyatt from the neighboring county, Larimer, ruled that the seizure was overbroad and violated privacy rights. So you request, we provide. And here's the American Civil Liberties Union of Colorado's Mark Silverstein to talk about the Weld County identity theft investigation and explain it all to us right here on AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning, Mark, if I may call you that. Thank you for joining us.
And good morning to you, too.
So, now, I know this was about Amelia's Translation and Tax Service. Apparently, they became of interest because of a taxpayer in Texas, right?
Ultimately, that's correct. The Weld County Law Enforcement Authorities wound up talking to one undocumented immigrant in Weld County who apparently had lived there for over a decade. And he, when he entered the country in violation of the immigration laws, he bought a Social Security number on the street. And he told Weld County authorities, listen, yes, I bought that, but, you know, I work steady. I try to do what I'm supposed to do. I pay taxes. And they wanted to know more about his paying taxes. And that eventually led them to this particular translation and tax service that catered to the Spanish-speaking community in Greeley. You know, undocumented immigrants are, of course, not only the subject of a lot of controversy, but they are subject to some very conflicting and contradictory legal requirements. We all know that there are millions of undocumented immigrants here in this country and that the federal government needs to figure out a way to fix the broken immigration system. In the meanwhile, these people do get jobs. They have to show an employer a Social Security number. They cannot obtain a valid Social Security number. While some people would say, well, then they should go back to their home countries, what actually happens, of course, is that they often find a way to show a Social Security number to a business and get a job. Those Social Security numbers are either invented, made up, or they're actually the Social Security number that belongs to another person. So they earn wages. They get W-2 forms that reflect the made-up or fraudulently obtained Social Security number. And the Internal Revenue Service requires that everyone earning wages in this country has to file tax returns. And those laws apply to undocumented immigrants, even if they're earning those wages in violation of the laws regarding work authorization. And so there's a requirement to file taxes, and the IRS promotes and encourages the filing of tax returns by undocumented immigrants and has set up a special system. They issue what are called ITINs, I-T-I-N. It's Individual Taxpayer Identification Number.
Right.
Now, ordinarily, your Social Security number is your taxpayer identification number.
Right.
But undocumented immigrants cannot obtain one. So the IRS arranges for them to file taxes using an ITIN. And what they have to do is submit the wage documentation that shows the fraudulent or invented Social Security number. They submit that along with information about their true identity and their true name. And the IRS issues them an ITIN. And the undocumented immigrants can continue to file tax returns even though the full tax return will show that they earned wages under a Social Security number that's not theirs. In other words, the tax returns contain evidence, first of all, that leads one to the conclusion that why you must be working here without work authorization, you must be here in violation of the immigration laws.
Right.
And it also provides evidence that someone got a job using a Social Security number that's not theirs, which under Colorado law may violate one or two criminal statutes. And so a tax return provides evidence not only of immigration status, but also of probable violations of Colorado criminal laws. The IRS, however, is forbidden to turn that information over to the federal agencies that are concerned with immigration, and it's also forbidden to turn that information over to authorities who might be interested in prosecuting the crimes under Colorado law. The IRS has developed a system to advance its mission of enforcing the tax laws,
which is to receive tax income from people.
That's right. So the IRS has information that would be of interest to the immigration people, and also would be of interest to local law enforcement agencies that want to pursue these violations of Colorado criminal law. But these authorities can't get the information from the Internal Revenue Service because of confidentiality laws. And so what happened here is that the Weld County authorities thought up a plan to get that information from another source, because so many people go to a tax preparer for help in filing tax returns.
Right.
And the tax preparer keeps copies as the tax preparer's business records. So based on their information about the one person who said, yes, I filed these kinds of returns, I did it at Amalia's, I know other people go to Amalia's, they began investigating, and they sent an agent from the Colorado Department of Revenue to go and talk to Amalia, and she explained what she does, which complies 100% with IRS requirements. She wasn't doing anything wrong, and the agent reported to the Weld County authorities, and they went and got a search warrant based on evidence that they knew of one person whose file would be at Amalia's that would reflect this kind of evidence the authorities were seeking. And they also had information that Amalia does this for some unknown number of others.
Right.
And based on that, they got a warrant that authorized them to look through the file of every tax-paying client of Amalia's.
Every single one?
They looked through all of them in order to find the ones where the taxpayer filed using an I-10 with wage documentation that reflected a Social Security number.
Oh, dear.
And so the authorities came with a search warrant, and they carted off the files of 5,000 clients and customers of Amalia's, looked through them all, and said, okay, we now have 1,339 suspects. The authorities returned the originals and made copies. They also made copies of the hard drives of all of Amalia's computers. And since Amalia does the tax returns using computer software, those hard drives actually contained the tax files of all of her customers. Persons who weren't even suspects after the DA's search of the 5,000 customers. So the issue really is, can law enforcement authorities comb through the records of 5,000 taxpayers on the theory that some unspecified number of them might be doing something wrong?
And talk about a fishing expedition. I mean, that's even worse. I mean, it's such a violation of privacy of the people who did nothing wrong.
That's right. That's right. And this form of investigation really is the government's bid to look for a needle in a haystack. And while they're doing it, they're combing through the confidential private records of thousands of law-abiding citizens and legal permanent residents who are also customers of Amalia's.
Oh, dear. Well, let's talk more about this. I do have to jump to a break. Do you have a little more time, Mark Silverstein?
Sure.
Great. ACLU's Mark of Colorado, Mark Silverstein, is talking about the Weld County identity theft investigation. And I'm glad we've got the background on it because it's, I think, even more egregious than I originally surmised from reading the 9news.com article. 303-713-7600 at 717 in the Mile High. Good morning. And we'll welcome the sun together right here on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Jay Marvin is still under the weather. We wish him well. And it's time for Progressive Traffic with the about to vacation, champing at the bit, can't possibly wait to put on that orange Speedo, John Turk.
You're exactly right, Aaron. I can't wait to slap on that orange Speedo in Orange Beach, Alabama.
This is honor of me because I love El Gran Combo. John's playing it for me. Yay. Mark Silverstein of ACLU of Colorado is our guest. We're talking about the Weld County case, Colorado identity theft investigation. Now, yesterday, I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate, Mark Silverstein, because I suspect strongly we're on the same side of this issue. You know, the charges have already been filed against at least 60 people. Some defendants have pled guilty to identity theft and criminal impersonation. What happens to them? Because apparently Hyatt said he couldn't overturn those cases, but expected some of them will file litigation. So what rights do they have? There are going to be a lot of people who say, so what? They're illegal. Throw them out. Throw the book at them. Why can't we go after them with tax law?
Well, I think the starting point, of course, is that all persons in the country are protected by constitutional rights of fairness, equality, and due process.
Here's what question always shocks me. Well, why should we give it to illegals?
Well, you don't know that someone is illegal until there has been.
Exactly.
Until there's been a procedure by which the immigration authorities say, we believe you're here in violation of the immigration laws. And, of course, a person accused has a right to say, wait a minute, no, I'm not. Let's take a look at my immigration status. So there are due process protections that attach. And, of course, when someone is accused of violating criminal laws, of course they have all the rights of anyone else in terms of you have a right to know the evidence against you, you have a right to rebut that evidence. You have a right to be heard. You have a right to have the assistance of an attorney. All of those rights apply to anyone in this country. As far as the persons who are already charged as a on the basis of evidence taken in this illegal search, they have to deal with this issue in the context of their own criminal proceedings.
Right.
In one of those cases, the one that was the most advanced procedurally, another judge in Weld County has already ruled that the search was illegal, and the judge ordered that the illegally seized evidence be excluded. Other defendants whose charges are based on that illegally seized evidence would probably be able to raise that ruling in their defense. The persons who have already pled guilty, however, that might be another story, and I don't know what they might do if they're able to do anything.
Well, what this raises, I think, is the issue of fairness and equal treatment under the law, I think, in many, many ways. And one of the things that I continuously argue for in a talk show is, yes, I do believe our constitutional rights should be extended to everybody here. I think they should be extended to the people in Bakram in Afghanistan. I don't like the suspension, I don't care whether Bush does it or Obama does it, of habeas corpus, for an example. So why is it fear? Is it ignorance? Is it a reluctance to apply the law equally that leads? I'm asking you to speculate, perhaps, but how the ACLU, I'm sure, tries to get the message out about our constitutional rights. But how do we as a people grapple with some of these issues? Because, you know, some people, we can disagree about the efficacy of prosecuting people, undocumented workers, but there's identity theft is a massive problem in this country. So what is the ACLU's recommendation in a way to tackle this? How should they have proceeded against the man who they suspected had had taken the, however he did it, the Social Security number of the man in Texas originally.
Yeah, sure. Well, first, let me say about this idea of equality. Of course, there are differences between people who are citizens and people who are not. So when those differences are material, then of course you don't have strictly equal treatment. Citizens cannot be deported. Non-citizens can be deported, but the thing is that our law enforcement authorities have to enforce the law while following the rule of law. Law enforcement authorities have to set the example that we are a nation of laws that does things pursuant to the rule of law. And in this particular case, of course, the judge has ruled that they attempted to enforce the laws while breaking the law themselves. And there are legal remedies for that, and the judge has ruled that they cannot use this evidence that was seized in the course of and by means of violating the right of privacy, the state constitutional protection against unreasonable searches and seizures, and the parallel provision in our Constitution, the Fourth Amendment. They have to follow the rule of law.
So I guess my question still is, and I did ask a very compound question, so I apologize for that. How do we proceed to prosecute people then who have committed identity theft who are not from this country?
Well, there of course is a problem. Law enforcement is always confronted with the problem of how to find out who might be violating the law and how to gather enough evidence for a criminal conviction. That's a perennial problem with many of yes. our laws. You could ask the same question about our laws about, say, illegal possession of cocaine. The authorities know that there are millions of people illegally possessing cocaine. And when the authorities find evidence of that legally, they certainly can prosecute and take appropriate action. But they can't start going house to house to house to see who might have be possessing cocaine illegally. That's crossing the line. That would be breaking the rule of law.
Right. And that's where we have to be careful of those, because it doesn't do anybody any good to know the law has been violated but then be unable to prosecute it because you broke the law in the effort to enforce the law, as you pointed out.
I can tell you one thing that's interesting is obviously with this the tax regime being as it is, the Internal Revenue Service gets the tax returns of millions of undocumented immigrants, and the IRS has these documents that basically show who is here working in violation, who's here in violation of the immigration laws and working without work authorization. Now, there's another federal agency that's concerned with immigration violations, and Congress held hearings a few years ago about this the paradox of one federal agency having so much information that another federal agency wants in order to fulfill its mission of enforcing the immigration laws. And the IRS said, well, listen, our mission is to ensure that as many people as possible voluntarily comply with our tax laws and file their tax returns. And of course, if the IRS turned that information over to the immigration authorities, millions of undocumented immigrants would not file the tax returns. They wouldn't comply with those tax laws. Congress left things alone. Of course, it's a paradox, and that's why really Congress has got to take measures to fix the broken immigration system.
And do you have any? Does the ACLU take any position on what those changes might be?
I believe that there was the proposal a few years ago in Congress. I can't remember the name of the statute that was scuttled, but I do believe that the ACLU supported some of the measures that were contained in that proposal that did not pass Congress.
The fair immigration. It was something. I'm remembering more or less what you're remembering, too. Okay. Well, listen, thank you for taking time out of your day to clear some of this up for us. I really, really appreciate
it. And thank you for your interest in this issue.
You bet. And Mark Silverstein, one of the reasons why we all should appreciate the American Civil Liberties Union. It's tax day. I might as well drag out everybody else. likes to make fun of. But I love the ACLU, so thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
You bet. I'm Aaron Hart, Mark Silverstein, our special guest. I'm Aaron Hart filling in for J. Marvin today, and we wish him well and we wish him better. By the way, a Colorado town is in trouble. We can talk a little local issues right now, 303-713-7600. We also have the Andrade murder trial. And his confession has been thrown out because they didn't listen to him when he said he wanted to stop being questioned. You know, this is a problem. You can't break the law and enforcing the law. Weld County, are you listening? They still have issues with Latinos, apparently, up in Weld County. Sad but true. And a Colorado town is in trouble. The 12-square block town of Mountain View has survived for more than 104 years, sandwiched between Denver and Wheat Ridge, says the Denver Post. But the recession may spell its end. If you live there, you've gotten a letter saying our town is in serious trouble. We need your help. Is Mountain View going to get a bailout? Should we all go buy property there? I don't know. 303-713-7600 is if we have any dough to buy property these days. Oh, yeah, right. Maybe we could call Uncle Sam Walton. Ha ha. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760, Colorado's Progressive Talk. You'd have to come from the great beyond. It is 731, and here's John with the traffic, Orange Speedo in tow. Hi there. We got a call from a gentleman. I use that word loosely. A gentleman who no doubt is lusting, desiring, thinking about the teabag party with his grace and wit, I'm sure. He called up and go, tell those liberal F word, get out of our country. You know what, sir? I invite you to call back. Don't use the F word, please. But get your teabags out of a twist. Come on. Talk to us. We'll talk to you. It's fine. We don't have to leave the country, although some of us may do that for a while. But, you know, the reality is we love our country. That's why we can stand up for its laws. That's why we love its constitution. That's why we like its enforcement. That's why we insist that it be protected and preserved and appreciated, not denigrated and stomped on and trounced upon every time it seems to be convenient to you. See, that's the problem. One day they may come for you. And if they do that, then you're going to want the protections that the Constitution affords. And I can hear them now. I'm a citizen. I don't need it. Yes, you do need to be protected because the Bush administration spied on you, listened to your phone calls, and interdicted your email without probable cause. They just did it because they could do it. And the reason they could do it is because good people didn't do enough in the wake of the attack of 9/11. You know, on my way home yesterday from work, I heard a wonderful interview. I love Sherman Alexie, and if I had thought about it, John, I would have said, let's get Sherman Alexie on, because he's really funny. He wrote When Harry and Tonto Fistfight in Heaven. He's a wonderful writer. He's just written a new book of poetry, and he's really a treasure. He's a member of the Spokane tribe, and he's very funny. He's a huge basketball fan, among other things, and he's hilarious when he talks about losing the Sonics. But he... Someone asked him a great question yesterday, which was, what was the most searing episode in our history? Was it the Battle of Gettysburg or was it 9/11? And I think a lot of right-wing conservatives, because they live on fear and they live on immediacy and they don't think about the long run, would say 9/11. And they're wrong. Because it really was the Battle of Gettysburg, because the nation's survival was on the line. Our Union was about to be rent in half and over the horrible divisions over slavery and the economic differences between North and South, because never forget, economics always figures into it as well. And so, you know, I think in some ways the difference in both looking back and looking forward gives a key to why there are such deep divisions in this country. We are deeply divided. We truly are, still to this day. And some of it has its seeds in the battlefields and the blood spilled in Gettysburg, because some people still believe that only certain people should have rights in America, and other people believe that, you know, that everyone should have equal protection under the law. That laws can be different, say, for illegals who are here, you know, people who are here undocumented, do not, yes, they can be deported. That's the difference. They're not citizens, particularly if they have a criminal background. They can be subject to deportation. But the reality is, you see, and we can strip people of their citizenship in extreme cases. Felons, for example, can't vote. So we do have laws, and we are a nation of laws, not women. We are a nation of laws, not men. But people who are frightened of other people and frightened of, I think, life as we know it, they look at the glass half empty. And they're very, very scared. And they're going to be out on the Capitol steps at the teabag party. They're going to be, they have their teabags in a twist, and they're very frightened of what's happening. And I think they live their lives based on fear. I like to think I lead mine based on the dictates of my mind, as well as, and I'm going to use a phrase that is way overused, my heart. 303-713-7600. Terry and Greeley, welcome, and thank you for joining us on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hi, how are you today?
I'm swell.
I'm calling about your this immigration thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're just saying that this is a nation of laws, and we mm-hmm. uphold our laws, but we don't seem to uphold our immigration laws.
Well,
everybody's saying that our immigration system is broken. No, our immigration system is not broken. We just don't enforce the laws that are on the books.
Actually, that is, technically speaking, changing. There have been more deportations are up. There has been more interdiction than before. And illegal immigration is actually down because, you know, the downside of a down economy is we don't have an economy that attracts people to come here illegally as much anymore. But so the problem is, I agree with you, I don't think it's our most serious problem by any means, but The reality is, this case in Greeley is still based on an illegal search and seizure. And you wouldn't want your tax records searched and seized illegally. If you had gone to Amalia's tax service, your records would have been among them. So if there was anything hinky on your tax returns, theoretically speaking, the Greeley DA thinks he can just go after you if he's on a fishing expedition. And my friend, is a very troubling idea.
Well, there's so many government agencies that are out there trying to protect illegal immigrants that's why we have to do this kind of thing.
No, it isn't. There's never a good reason to break the law in order to enforce the law.
Well,
really
the illegal immigrants are doing it, and we're doing it by
illegal immigration.
We coddle them and we protect them, isn't that?
You say coddle, and here's what happens. The revenue stream, have you ever thought about what happens to the Social Security dollars that they contribute to our country? Here's one of the things that happens. They don't benefit, because if they're using a false number to file it, then they're not going to be able to collect Social Security.
So
that goes into the pot that pays, that's going to pay eventually, hopefully in many years, your and I's Social Security.
Maybe they need to start going after these people when they find them.
And that's why I kept asking.
Instead of the government trying to protect them, and this judge.
And so write your congressperson and get a law passed. There was a law, but the Republicans shot it down. They did not want, John McCain was frustrated and tearing what's left of his hair out, because the right-wing conservatives in this country like having employers that hire illegal immigrants. They like it. They want to perpetrate it because they can hire people for less money and they can drive wages down. So take it up with your wealthy buddies in the power structure,
because
they're the
I'm
ones who are perpetrating it.
Actually, I'm a Democrat, and I favor
All right.
I
should not have
assumed.
About,
but it seems to me like the Democrats.
Well, the Democrats have gone after immigration reform.
Well, the Democrats, the Republicans, are the ones that's been shutting down all these coddle immigration policies. I mean, now they, AFL-CIO, they came out with one yesterday at the Ed Show saying that they want to legalize 12 million illegal aliens. Give them amnesty.
Why not? Because,
see,
look, they're already.
Why, that's the thing. You guys are saying, well, why not?
Can you take
not?
A breath? Yes, I say why not. And you want to know why? Or do you want to just rail?
Why?
Okay, here's the reason why. Many of them have lived here for years. Many of them have children here. Many of them have built family structures. If you, you know, it's already happened, my friend. It's already done deal. So you might as well just let it go and then create a system where part of our problem is no one funds the immigration apparatus in this country in order to be able to deal honestly with the influx of people desiring to be in this country.
Nobody wants to because they like the cheap labor. That's what it's all about.
That's part of the problem. You're absolutely right. We can agree on that.
That's definitely a big part of it. It's cheap labor. That's all it's about.
Well, no, actually, it's also about. Well, I guess it does go back to cheap labor in terms of H-1B visas as well. But those are also way down. They're very much down because they know it would be highly unpopular to hire, you know, say accountants from India when they can get accountants here who are out of work. So, I agree with you, but I don't think it's our most serious problem. I think people get whipped into a frenzy out of xenophobia and fear. And the reality is it is not our biggest problem. Jobs and the income disparity is.
It has to do with the economy and the job thing also. We have all these people, American citizens, are out of work, but yet there's 186,000 or so legal immigrants coming into the country, and it's like we can't even put our own people to work. What are we going to do with the legal ones that are coming in and the illegal ones that are coming
in? Well, I'm not afraid.
Are they giving these jobs to the?
I'm not afraid of it either way.
People?
No,
and giving our those jobs
not necessarily.
To the illegal.
No, I just told you they're not, but you're not listening to me. So thank you very much for your call, Terry. Mark in Denver, thank you for joining us on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
How you doing, Aaron?
I'm well.
I got 2 points. I'll start with you mentioned that under the Bush administration, our constitutional rights were eroded because he would do wiretaps or warrantless wiretaps.
Yes, and I didn't like the Democrats who approved of it either.
And I completely agree with you that that's wrong, but I wish that you would tell the whole story that the Obama administration has continued that practice.
I don't know whether they're continuing wiretapping, but they are wiretapping specifically. You're sure?
Absolutely.
Because I think they're going with the FISA courts. You're incorrect.
No, they've continued the practice
without FISA interdiction.
Yes,
I'd have to see it to believe it.
They're doing it exactly the same way the Bush administration did it. Exactly the same way.
I'm not buying it. I do buy that they're behaving in Afghanistan, though, shabbily, and I do not like granting habeas corpus to people who are caught in the field in Afghanistan. We can't do that, and we can't take people from country to country shopping for places to park them because we don't want to bring them to trial. That's wrong. It should be illegal, and I tried to get Bruce Fein on as a guest, but there was a little hitch in our get-along, and we have not been able to get him back. We should certainly obey the Constitution in all things,
and
Barack Obama included.
We are a nation of laws, and we need to abide by those laws, regardless of whether we're Charlie Rangel and not figuring out our taxes, or if we're an illegal immigrant coming here illegally, you need to pay the penalty for what you do.
Thanks so much. What did you call for? Say quickly what you call for. Oh, I think John hung up on you. Did you, John?
I'm still here.
Okay. Here, just go ahead. Go ahead, quickly. Okay.
Anyway, the teabag parties.
Yes.
I wanted you to know that 30% of the people, they did a poll, 30% of the people that are there are Democrats. 30% are independents. Only 40% are Republicans. So,
there aren't that many right-wing Republicans. Who did the polls? Fox News? As if I ever believe anything they say.
I believe it was the Rasmussen poll.
Oh, uh-huh. I'd have to see it to believe it, and I don't.
Well, you don't have to believe it, but the fact of the matter is that it's not just conservatives that are upset with our nation's tax policy, with the way that our government is.
I'm sure about that. I'm just sure that nobody who is cool, like independents and Democrats, are going to go to a teabag party. that's why I have the distinct impression that's not going to happen. But I might be wrong. We'll see. It's 7:49. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning. We have Michael Speer of Presidential Brokerage standing by and ready to go. Fired up, I'm sure, and ready to go. You ready for those teabag parties today, Mike Speer? Good morning. Thank you for joining us.
Oh,
that's right. He'll be with us during the break.
In just a minute here.
John, I'm sorry. I had a brain dead moment there. I misunderstood. It's 303-713-7600. Okay, the perils of live radio. And thank you very much for your call.
That's why it's called live radio. We love it.
I know. It's like walking a high wire rack every time I do it. 303-713-7600. I'm Aaron Hart filling in for J. Marvin. And I'll get this break straight. I'm already so anxious to talk to Michael Spear. I'm anticipating his arrival. Okay, it's time. Actually, it's time for you, John Turk, in that orange Speedo that he's going to be posting, everyone, on his Facebook page.
It'll be my Facebook profile pic, me in an orange Speedo. So look
scary
out for that.
Thought.
It is scary.
Scary thought.
All right.
Hi, this is Aaron Hart, and I was so excited to talk to you, Michael Spear. I anticipated your arrival. Executive Vice President of Presidential Brokerage joins us. You going to a teabag party today, Michael?
Negatory. I'm working.
Paying your taxes, having a great time.
Well, one thing I do have to say is I'm happy to live in this country. And
me too.
You know, I think we've got a lot of great things going for us. I'd like to focus on our positives and build on those and not focus too much on what we have.
Our negatives.
That I don't like. That's right.
Well, you know, and the president sounded very hopeful yesterday, and that seemed to be was that a good note for the market? How is that playing?
Well, the market was down yesterday, as a matter of fact, but it was down, I think, more on economic news than anything, which has been hanging around for a while, as you know. And we got a little bit more news this morning. The consumer price index indicated that consumer prices are dropping. So inflation, a lot of people have been talking about their concern over inflation, and I do believe that will be a problem down the road, but it's not right now. So consumer prices dropped by 0.1% last month. With that, the Dow is up 3 points right now, Aaron. It's getting the heart bounce because it was down a little bit ago. The NASDAQ composite is down 14. The S&P's even, and the Russell's about even, so kind of a nondescript day. But what I can tell you is if you haven't heard from your advisor in a long, long time about new strategies and you've maintained the same investment strategies over the last year or two, that's a big mistake.
Yeah, see, and that sounds familiar. That a lot of us, particularly if we don't have giant 401ks, we feel ignored often. I doubt you ignore any of your clients, no matter the size of their portfolio.
Well, we certainly try to give everybody equal attention, that's for sure.
Well, thank you, Michael Spear, Executive Vice President of Presidential Brokerage. We really appreciate it. And that number to call for intelligent investment guidance is 303-749-2770. 303-749-2770. Thank you so much, Michael. It's been a pleasure.
All right, Aaron. Thanks. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. I'm Aaron Hart. This is AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. We'd love to talk to you, and you can do so at 303-713-7600. This is Aaron Hart filling in on The J. Marvin Show. Hi, this is Aaron on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Having a little breakdown in communication with my Gmail, which never happens. I'm not sure what's going on with it. Anyway, there's going to be a counter-protest at the Capitol today by Progress Now. It's at 10 a.m., so if you want to get down there earlier than those right-wing conservative teabaggers, go ahead. Just make sure you're not in the shot when Fox News comes, because they'll try to pretend you're really, you know, not a liberal. Tonya in Denver, welcome to AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk. Good morning.
Hello. I had one comment because I'm first generation. I'm Mexican descendant also. But I think that everybody washes over why people get so angry in this issue. You know, a lot of the people whose identities have been stolen are victims. And a lot of these people are of Hispanic descendant themselves.
True, because that's...
Because, you know, it's easier to pass off as a Martinez if you're a Martinez. And my family, I have a few people that have been victims of the crime. And I think people wash over the fact that there are victims in this crime. And nobody really talks about them.
You know, I'm really glad you brought that up, Tonya. I'm really glad you brought that up. And thank you for speaking out, because I think it's important. Thank you so much for your call. And Sylvia in Aurora, hang in. We'd love to talk to you, too. More on this subject and more on AM 760 Colorado's Progressive Talk.